Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1. We'll read verses 18 through 23 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother, Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here in this place. Lord, we have a full church today, and Lord, just the presence of the Holy Spirit is exciting. Thank you for this time of year where Jesus didn't just come and be born as a man, but as God as well. Thank you that he put on a robe of flesh that could die so that we would have eternal life. Lord, please be with our preacher today, fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen, change our hearts and our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
God sent his son not just so we could have a day off work. God sent his son to die for us, making a thing called salvation available. That's why he's called our Savior. But not only that, God sent his son then to be an example to us about how we're to behave after he becomes our Savior. And so God sent his son so that he might be our Savior. And then that very son became a living example to us about how we should live and behave after we have accepted him as Savior. Please stay with me. I think you'll learn something today. I don't think you'll consider this what we would call a traditional Christmas Sunday morning sermon. I call it like a Christmas cookie cut out in his presence, cut out in his likeness. I want you to listen here in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The Bible says this, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now notice there in Isaiah 7, 14, we are told of Emmanuel. We read earlier together from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. We read it. We found, again, it says in verse 23, it says that they shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, Isaiah 7:14 tells us that this child shall be born and they're going to call him Emmanuel. That is God making what we'd call an Old Testament prediction about something that will happen. You might want to call it prophecy. God in the Old Testament said that Jesus would come. Then, when you get to Matthew chapter number 1, you begin to see the fulfillment of the prediction from the book of Isaiah. When we found ourselves in Matthew 1:18, reading it just a moment ago, in verse 18, it speaks of the birth of Christ. It mentions Mary and Joseph. It tells that the child was of the Holy Ghost. In verse number 19 of Matthew chapter 1, it speaks that of what a just man Joseph was. And don't ever get confused. Joseph was the husband of Mary, but Joseph was not the father of Jesus. God, the Holy Spirit, was the Father of Jesus, okay? That when you get to verse number 20 here in Matthew chapter 1, it tells us that the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and told him of Mary's pregnancy, and that this pregnancy was a part of the plan. It was an act of God. When you get to verse 21 here in Matthew chapter 1, it tells us that this same angel says to Joseph and Mary, you're going to have this boy child. And they told him what they ought to name him. His name was specific. He was supposed to be called Jesus. And they're told that this Christ child, this Jesus, is going to save people. He's going to be the Savior. You get to verse number 22, and it tells us exactly that all of this is taking place because it was predicted in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. So when you read verse 22 of Matthew chapter 1, it is referring back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And God is telling us in the New Testament that what He said was going to happen in the Old Testament has actually come to pass. You get to verse number 23 in Matthew chapter 1. And we virtually see a quotation from the Old Testament. And it talks about Mary being a virgin. And she was a virgin that was with child. And she would bring forth a son. And then it says, they shall call his name Emmanuel. And they even tell us the definition of the word or name Emmanuel. It means, when being interpreted, God is with us. Jesus, being born, was God with us. See, Jesus came to us as a representative of God, or a representative of the form of God. Let me read a verse to you from the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Here the Bible says you and I are to be thinking like Jesus because Jesus thought like God. The Bible here is telling us that Jesus came to us in the form of God. Someone might say, but who does Jesus think He is? No, Jesus knew who He was. He was God come in the flesh. It was not robbery for Jesus to say, I am in the form of God. He knew exactly who He was. There wasn't anything wrong with that. And actually here in Philippians 2:5, it tells me and you, we ought to be thinking like Jesus because Jesus was thinking like God because Jesus was formed in the image of God. Jesus came to show us what God was like. Not in looks, but in behavior, in spirit, in character, and in holiness. God said, I want those people down there to up close know what I'm like. And He said, I'll send my son, I will form my son like me. Physically? No. Spiritually, in His behavior, in His attitudes, in what He was. Jesus came to us in behavior, in the image of God. Colossians 1:13 says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, who hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. I want to read that verse to you because the context here in Colossians 1 is talking about Jesus Christ, God's dear Son. Now listen to the verse that follows it. In verse 15 it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. God said, I need those people down there to have a good image of what I am, a good representative of what I am. Now remember, God sent His Son to be our Savior. That was the primary purpose of His coming. But wait a minute, God also wanted you to know how you were to behave after He became your Savior. God said, I'm not only going to send Him down there as Savior, but I'm going to make sure that those human beings have an image of a role model, if you will, so that they can behave like Jesus, because Jesus behaves like me, because I sent Him down there formed in my behavioral image. Does that make sense to you? That's what God did. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4 says, the last part of the verse, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, Jesus was the image of God. He was a picture of God. He was formed in the image of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 2. It says, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Hey, you better be very, very careful minimizing Jesus Christ to just a babe in a manger and a Christmas holiday character. No, this child that was born came to give us a reflection of what God was. This was Emmanuel, God with us. If anybody attacks that baby in a manger, they better stop and realize who they're messing with. They're not just messing with Jesus Christ, a Christmas character. They're messing with the God of the universe that was God with us. So you see, God said, I'll send him down there to be Savior. But secondly, I'll send him down there so that he can show people what I am. What I am physically? Did Jesus look like God when he got his picture taken? Oh, not at all. Nobody has a picture of Jesus. But let me say, whatever that physical image was, that's not what God was trying to get us to look at. God was trying to get us to look at the way he lived, what he was, his character, his holiness, his behavior, his spirit. Now, stay with me if you will, please. God formed Jesus in his image, because God wanted us to look at Him so that we could learn how to behave like God. When the Bible talks about Emmanuel, God with us, God wants you to look at Jesus so you can learn what God's like, so you can be like God. And Jesus, because He became your human example of God. He was the God-man. And so, don't miss all that the Christmas story truly has for you. Indeed, there was a babe born of a virgin that rests in a manger. Indeed, that virgin's child, Jesus Christ, came to save the world. But wait a minute. He didn't only come to save the world. He came to show the saved world how they ought to behave. Stay with me, if you will. Let me say this. First of all, it is God that formed him. The Bible says that Jesus was formed in the image of God. That's what Emmanuel is. Emmanuel, God with us. But it was God that formed him. God is the great creator. God is the great former. We've all heard and read Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you want to know where this whole story and all of it begins, you just go to God. You just go to God. We find out when it was time for the earth to be formed. It is God that is the great creator. It is God that is the great former, if you will. Genesis 1:2, the Bible says, and the earth was without form and void. Here the Bible says there was a time when the elements of the earth were without form and they were void. But wait a minute, God stepped up and God formed the earth. Because it says in Psalm 90, verse number 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world. What happened? God said, I've got some elements here. I know how to take them and mold them and make them into what I want them to be. Just like God formed Jesus Christ in God's image, God took the elements necessary that he had provided, and He formed the earth. Hey, those of you that go to a secular educational institution and they try to tell you that the earth and our universe all came from a Big Bang theory and that's where we were created. Hey, and that we evolved from a monkey. That's not true. That's not true. That's a lie according to the Bible. God formed you. God formed me. God formed Jesus Christ. You see, God is the great former. God is the great creator. You see, the Bible says it is God that formed the eyeball. Psalm chapter 94, verse number 9, it says, He that planted the ear shall not hear. He that formed the eye. The Bible says that God took all the elements necessary. I don't know if God took His very hands and He said, watch what I can mold. Watch what I can make. But God formed the earth and God formed the eye. And don't forget, God formed
Jesus in God's image so you and I would know, we could look at Jesus and we could say, that's what we're supposed to be right there. God formed the dry ground. The Bible says in Psalm 95:5, the sea is His and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. That means God had all the elements necessary. God took them, He used His hands, and He formed the dry ground. He formed the eyeball. He formed the earth. The Bible says that God formed the light. It says in Isaiah 45:7, God said, I formed the light and created darkness. You say, how in the world did God form the light? I don't know, but God had all the elements, everything they needed. He had all the ingredients, and God pulled them all together, and He formed the light. He formed the darkness. God formed the eyeball. God formed the dry ground. God formed the earth. Not only that, it is God that formed the body of mankind. The Bible says in Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. What did God do? God said, I've got all the elements necessary. I've got all the ingredients necessary. Watch what I can do. I'm the great creator. I'm the great inventor. I'm the one that can form things. He formed the ingredients. He took the ingredients that He formed, and then He formed them into a body. God formed your body. You did not evolve from a monkey. God formed the human race out of the dust of the ground. Now, as you look up this way, I realize what you're thinking. Some of us were formed better than others. And I know you realize that. But God don't make no trash. Thank God for that. Amen, Brother Nash? Amen. God formed. He's the great former. God formed the eye. He formed the dry land. He formed the light. He formed the body of mankind. He formed the earth. Hey, God formed the animals and the birds. Genesis 2:19, it says, God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. What does it mean? He took whatever ingredients He chose to take. He took whatever elements He chose to take, and He formed them. He made them what He wanted them to be. The Bible says in Proverbs 26, verse number 10, the great God that formed all things. Guess what? There is nothing out there that has been formed that was not formed by God. It all starts with God. Now that's important to me because if I want to look at the Christmas story, I'd like to figure out where does this whole thing start. The Bible says that when Jesus came, they will call Him Emmanuel, which meaning God with us. God formed Jesus Christ. He is the great former. Oh, now stay with me. Stay with me. Number two, God formed all things for Himself. When God did all this, when God started grabbing the ingredients and grabbing the elements of creation and He formed it, He didn't just form it to put it on a shelf. He wasn't just practicing. Everything that He ever formed, He formed for a reason and for a purpose. When God formed Stephen Davis, He formed Stephen Davis for a purpose. And it took a lot of ingredients. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Now understand something here. We're finding out He's the great former. And He's the great creator. And He doesn't just create for no reason whatsoever. He forms it, first of all, for His pleasure. That means, who created you? Who formed you? God did. Why did God form you? First and foremost, God formed you for Himself. What did God want to get out of me? God formed you that you might bring pleasure to God. And I want you to know something. God did not form you primarily for you to bring pleasure to you. God formed you to bring pleasure to God. That's what it says here in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. He formed all things. He formed all things for Himself. He formed all things for His pleasure. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21, God says this, this people have I formed for Myself. Now, it may be that somewhere in the will of God, on down the line, on down the ladder of success, there are some of you ladies, you were formed to be a helpmeet to your husband. But I want to remind you something. You were primarily formed to be a helpmeet for your God. And may I say to every man here, indeed, I think every man, when you go to work, you ought to get a job and you ought to be in the will of God at work. And that means that maybe God created you to work at a certain place and do a certain thing, and there's a certain submission that ought to go into that work to your boss. But don't you ever lose track of the fact you were not ultimately created to work for a man. You were ultimately formed to work for your God. Children, let me remind everybody here, you're to obey your mom and dad, and you, hey, they help to form you. But it is God that gives you the second forming or the second birth, and you better remember something. You should obey your mama. You should obey your daddy. But let me say to every human being under the sound of my voice, you were formed by Almighty God. You were formed for a purpose. You were formed for His pleasure. And we are to be in submission to the one that formed us. You see, Jesus was God come in the flesh. His name was Emmanuel. He was formed in the image of God. God formed you for Himself. I was up preaching in Canada, London, Ontario. I went to a church building, probably just a little smaller than our building. Rather than two stories where here at this church we have the big main floor and then the balcony. This was a three-story church building. Wouldn't have seated as many as what we can see. And the people were wrapped around a little more, but an awesome auditorium, great big dome ceiling. But here's the thing. We had to get permission to get into it because it was shut down. It was not being used. Years and years ago, it was used by a man by the name of Oswald J. Smith. One of the greatest revivalists in the country of Canada. And they would fill that building. And he was the hot preacher in that area. And he was the famous preacher years and years ago in that area. I went into that building. When they let me in, I walked through and I walked in the balcony and I looked around and I stood in the pulpit and I thought, I'm right now standing where one of the greatest preachers of the country of Canada stood in years gone by. I pictured the auditorium being full like this building today. I mean, there's just a handful of seats anywhere in this building where someone could sit. And it used to be that way for that church. The only thing is, when we got permission to go into that church, we had to get somebody to come unlock it. It was owned by some businessman. Wasn't used as a church anymore. Wasn't used at all. Windows were kind of boarded up. There were chains on the doors. When we went in, they had an old pipe organ. I'm talking about great big old pipes and beautiful, beautiful thing. I went in and I was looking around that building. As I looked around it, I thought, my, this building used to be packed full. It used to be used. It used to be something. I looked over that pipe organ, and I know this sounds crazy, but somehow I almost looked at that organ and I thought, that organ looks sad. I know an organ can't look sad, but somehow in my brain I thought, that organ, that instrument there, it seems unfulfilled. Why? Because when the day that pipe organ was created, the one who created it for a church that was going to sing praises to God. They were going to use it to get people saved. They were going to use it to change lives. They were going to use it to bring revival to the country of Canada. And now the church is shut down. The organ's closed up. It's not used anymore. And anything that is not fulfilling the purpose for which it was created is sad. It's sad. There are some of you that are here today. You were formed by God, and you were formed by God for His purpose. You were formed by God to do something for Him. And there are some of you, you're very sad today. And I'll tell you why. You're not fulfilling the purpose for which you were created. Anything that's not doing what it ought to be doing for God is going to have some sadness about it. I say to you this, God is the great former. Not only is God the great former, God formed all things for Himself and for His pleasure. Let me say this, number three. God wants Christ formed in you. God wants Christ formed in me. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:49, as we have borne the image of the earthly, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly. Let me explain something. Brother Young here, one of our assistant pastors, he has a couple of his sons here. If you look at his sons, Joshua and Gabriel, you can look at Brother Young's face, you can look at Josh and Gabriel's face, you can pretty well figure who those boys belong to. Why? When those boys were created, they were in the image of their earthly dad physically. Listen to this verse. The Bible says, as we have borne the image of the earthly, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly. You know something, Brother Young? Josh and Gabriel, let me tell you guys something. Hey, you do look like your dad, and we all feel sorry for you about that. But you were born physically in the image of your daddy. And that was your first birth. But when you got born again the second time, you're supposed to take on the image of your second daddy. And that second daddy is God the Father. And when God said, I'm sending to you my son, he doesn't look like me physically, but he looks like me spiritually. He's not only going to be your Savior, he's going to teach you how to live after you get saved. He is going to give you the image of what you are supposed to be. The Bible says in Colossians 3:10, and to put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. God wants you to be in the image of a servant to him. The Bible says in Isaiah 44:21, remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant, I have formed thee. God reminds Jacob, he said, Jacob, I formed you. And he wasn't talking about Jacob, I gave you that nose. And Jacob, I gave you those ears. And Jacob, I gave you that mouth. And Jacob, I gave you those legs. No, he was saying, I gave you, not only am I asking you to understand I formed your body, I also am trying to form you into something spiritual. Listen, I was thinking about this. I have some cookie dough here. Yeah. Such spiritual people. People have not said amen in the last 15 minutes are saying amen to the cookie dough. I have some cookie dough. It's sugar cookie dough. That sounds even better. I have here a gingerbread man cookie cutter. And I have a bell. And I have a cookie cutter that's a star. And I have a cookie cutter that is it's a candy cane. Now, let me explain something to you. When Mrs. Owens makes sugar cookies, she forms them. I gather the elements. I'm the father of the home. She then takes the elements that I give her, and she forms those cookies. And you know, you put them through the right process, they're pretty good. I've watched her do this before. And I thought, you know, that makes an awful lot of sense. She takes the dough, she puts it through a process of forming, and these cookies come out that are very usable. They're of great help. Now, let me show you what I mean. You and I, we're the cookie dough. We as Christians, we're the dough. Jesus Christ, he's the cookie cutter. He's the form that we're to be taking on. The Bible says that God wants Christ formed in you. Now, is he talking about all of us looking physically, identically, alike? Oh, no. Oh, no. God knows I don't want to look like Stephen Davis. No way. That wouldn't be fair. I mean, there's only room for one in many ways. No, God's not saying I want all of you to look identically alike with the same ears, the same nose. But he did say, I'm going to give you my son. He is coming in my form. The Bible says that Jesus was formed of God in God's image spiritually, and then God said, I want that spiritual form to be what you become. You are to have Jesus formed in you. You are the dough. Jesus is that pattern. Jesus is that, right, I've got the gingerbread man here. Jesus is the gingerbread pattern. And God is the one who places his hand on the cutter, pushes it into the dough, and then suddenly we have the image pressed into the dough of the pattern Jesus Christ. That's what God's trying to do with all of us that are born again. I would say 95% or better of this congregation today, there's been a time in your life when you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you died today, you know for a fact you'd go to heaven. For the other 5%, in a moment, we're going to help you to take care of that so you can get saved. But for the other 95%, can I tell you something? God didn't give us Christmas so that we could just have another day off, have a little bit of ham, and have a candy cane. God said, Christmas is all about this. I want you to see what you're supposed to be, and I'm going to come down there. I'll form my son in my image, and then I want you to be able to look at that form and look at his behavior and his holiness and what he was, and I want Jesus to be formed in you. That's what God with us was all about. You and I, this dough here is very pliable. Very pliable. It's very soft. Got a whole pan full of it. I mean, choir, wouldn't you like to have a big old juicy sugar cookie? I mean, sometimes you can't even get to the bacon. You just eat the dough. God comes along and God says to us, I want you to be the dough. I want my son Jesus to be the pattern. And I'll be the one to put the pressure on to cut you, to turn out and to look like and to behave like my son. You say, why? Because it was God with us. God said, if I can get you acting like my son, you're acting like me, and that's why I sent him in the first place. It is God that loved you that sent his son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Emmanuel, God with us. Hey, some of us, we don't want to be used of God. You say, I don't mind being a no, but keep that cookie cutter away from me. Something wrong with that. You say, why? Because the whole reason you were created is so you could be cut in the image of God. You say, well, that's not what I'm interested in. That's also why you're miserable. There are people in here, I don't even know you. You've never met me, I've never met you, but you're not happy. You're not happy with your life. You've chased the buck, it did not make you happy. You chased the physical relationship with the opposite sex, it did not make you happy. You've attempted fame, you've tried education, you've tried everything under the sun. You're still unfulfilled, you're still unhappy, and I'm going to tell you why. You're like the organ up in London, Ontario, Canada. You were created for a reason, but you're not playing the tune with your life that you're created to play, and you never will be happy. The happiest people I know are born-again Christians that said, okay, God, I'm the dough, you're the cookie cutter. Go ahead and stamp me in the image of Jesus Christ and make me what you want me to be. It's the only way I'll be happy. Did you know that a Chevy engine's not happy in a Ford frame? Why? Because it was created to power something else along the way. You see, I say, number one, God is the great former. I say to you, number two, God created or formed everything and everybody for His purpose and for His glory. And I say to you, number three, God then wants Christ formed in us. Oh, I'm going to tell on myself for a moment here. This is the first experience I have ever had personally and all by myself with cookie dough. Well, and I didn't mix up my own dough. You can buy it in a little too down at the store. I thought this was going to be as easy as pie. I was in my office earlier, took a pair of scissors, chopped the end off the little plastic tube that the dough was in, pulled it out, had a big old long roll of dough. Thought, well, I'll just slap that on my pan and we'll be fixed up. I slapped it on the pan. You know, that stuff was sticking to the pan. It's making a mess. I thought, well, now what am I going to do? And I'm thinking, well, a little motor oil on there would keep that from happening. Then I thought, I'll use that spray stuff. What's it called? Spam or, yeah, Pam. Why do they call it Pam? Why do they call it Margaret or something? But, you know, that Pam stuff, and I thought, I'll do that. And I got it all off the pan because it was all stuck all over the place. Went and got Pam, sprayed it all over the place and all over my desk and my papers. Well, I'll be real honest. I got a little ticked off at the dough for a second because you wouldn't believe everything that's happened this morning. We had problems with a heater here and something else there and, you know, people barfing and things like that. And I'm supposed to be getting my cookies ready. I did wash my hands before I did the meal, ladies. But I'm working all this stuff and I'm thinking, hey, I can run in at the last minute. I'll grab my dough, slap it on the pan. I'm ready for the illustration. I slap it on there and it's sticking like glue. And I'm thinking, this is not supposed to work this way. What if I want to pull one of those cookies off? It's not going to happen. And so I've got this great big wad of dough in my hands, and I threw it on my desk, and I thought, oh, I'm mad. My dough wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. And I got to thinking, you can be glad that your God wasn't like me. Because there are so many of you were created. You're to be the dough in the master's hands. God wanted to form a beautiful cookie, if you will, of your life. And it was to be the imprint of Jesus Christ. So many times you and I don't do what we were supposed to do. And it's like that dough. You can be glad that your God did not take the dough of your life and flush it down the toilet and flush it down the drain and put it in the trash. No, God said, I'm a God of a second chance and I'll take your dough. And if you'll resubmit your dough, I'll keep working on you. But you see, God is the great former. God is the one that wants to form you and I, and He created you and I for a reason. You and I, we're the cookie dough. Jesus Christ is the cookie cutter. He's the form. And God's hand is the one that puts the pressure on the cookie dough to cut out that form. Let me advise you then, number four, to do this. Don't fight the forming. Romans chapter 9, verse 20 and 21 says, Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing form say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? You know what the Bible says here? God is saying there are some people that are the cookie dough. They're looking back at the cookie cutter, and they're looking back at the hand of the cookie cutter saying, What do you think you're doing to me? God said, Should the clay fight against the potter? God is the potter. I am the clay. Should I question God about what He wants to form me into? No, I should be moldable. You know, folks, you and I, if we're not careful, we'll get to living our life and we'll begin to ignore the forming of God. Every one of us need to remember every day of our life we're like that cookie dough. And everything that happens to you 365 days a year is coming your way because your God is trying to form you. Stop ignoring God in your life. I would not want to be unkind for a moment to those of you who have not been in church this year and you realize it was Christmas and you ought to be in church on Christmas morning. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for coming. You did the right thing, but I want to tell you something. The same God that you're showing respect for today, He wanted to see you 364 other days realizing He was trying to form you then as well. You see, the Bible says that cookie dough ought not be questioning the cookie cutter. The Bible's teaching us that the cookie dough should not ignore the one who is trying to form them. We should not run from the forming. We should not even try to pick our own forming. If God said, there's a picture of that gingerbread man, that's a picture of Jesus Christ if you could. God comes along and He said, I want to form you to be like Jesus Christ. And some of you say, I want to be a candy cane. God said, I don't want you to be a candy cane. I want you to be formed in the image of Jesus Christ. You said, but God, I want to be a bell. God said, it is not your choice. I want you formed like Jesus Christ. You come along and say, but I want to be a star. Please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. God, let me do my will. And God said, my will for you is that you be like Jesus. I don't know what you're going to be in life. Children grow up and we say, what do you want to be in life? Some want to be firemen. Some want to be policemen. Some want to do this or that. Got a bunch of them around here that want to be preachers, and thank God for that. But let me tell you something. Every one of us, we're all God's children. I don't care if you're 40 or 400 or 4. If somebody says to you, what do you want to be when you grow up? I know what I want to be. I want to be like Jesus. Form me, God. But we want to pick our forming. We want to slow down the forming. Then there's some of us, we want somebody else's forming. Oh no, no. Remember, it is God that does the forming. He did the forming for His pleasure. He comes along and He says, I am going to form you in the image, or I want you formed in the image of my Son who is formed in the image of me. Don't fight the forming. I'll tell you this. I got to warn you real quickly. Is that a telephone? Pizza Hut, large, extra cheese, macaroni, no, macaroni, pepperoni, yeah, pepperoni. I'll for sure get one with macaroni on it now. Look back this way, turn that phone off. I say this, I got to tell you, that dough right there, sometimes it's under pressure when the cookie cutter's cutting into it. The Bible says in Galatians 4:19, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. It said, talks about travail there. One of our ladies, Mrs. Janice Lowther, had her baby last couple of days, but she struggled in the delivery. Struggled to the point that the baby had a couple of bones that were broken when it was coming forth. A punctured lung. Now the baby's fine and with mama and was in intensive care for a little while, but I'll tell you something. Anybody that's ever given birth knows that when you're giving birth to something, there's pain involved. Now in this case, there was pain in that was being formed and pain for that person who was giving birth. And God wants you to know, listen, while Christ is being formed in you, sometimes it might be a little tough. It might get a little painful. You know, when God presses into your mold and He takes the dough of your life and the cookie cutter of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, sometimes the Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And that is, you take the hand of God and the pattern of Jesus Christ and you place it in the soft dough of your life. And God will say to you, okay, Christian, I'm going to try to get you formed in my image. Hang on. It's going to hurt a little bit. I'm going to put some pressure. I'm going to cut off some of you that don't look like what it's supposed to look like. And He pushes into the dough. And you, oh, it hurts. Yeah, it does sometimes. The Bible says that there is travail while Christ is being formed in us. But I was there. We rushed down when Mrs. Lowther had given birth, and Mrs. Owens and I, we came to the father-son basketball game on Friday night, and we slipped out and we ran down to the hospital and we walked into the room there where the Lowthers were, and Mrs. Lowther had been in a lot of pain and a long and a very, very hard delivery of a baby while that baby was being formed, if you will. But I'll tell you something, the very moment Brother Lowther popped open a little, some pictures and started showing us picture of that baby, you should have seen the smiles on Mom and Dad's face. And let me tell you all something, you may go through some tough times why Christ is being formed in you. But when you come forth, and when that which is supposed to be formed comes forth, you are going to find some smiles on a lot of faces because it'll all turn out just fine in the end. Hey, Christian, are you going through some tough times right now? Don't lose track. Don't lose track. It may be that God is pressing into your dough. You say, what's God doing to me? Oh, no. It's what is God doing for you. He is forming you in the image of His Son. There is pain when that which does not look like Jesus must be cut off. It's sometimes painful, but it is worth it. God wants to mold your attitude. God wants to mold your life. The Bible says in Zechariah 12:1, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which strengtheneth, stretches forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth, formed the spirit of man. That word spirit there is a small S spirit. It has to do with your attitude. Hey, has God been trying to form your attitude? God's trying to form your life. And sometimes in that forming, it's a little painful. Let me say this and I'm finished for the day. Here's what I think every one of us that are born again Christians ought to decide, and we ought to decide it today. God, don't stop forming me until you've got me where you want me. There are some of you, you're the dough. Jesus Christ is the form. The form is in God's hand and God approaches you, and there are some of you right now, you're pushing His hand back saying, no more! Don't form me, no! My friend, do not push God's hand away. Let God form Jesus Christ in you. The Bible says this in Psalm 17:15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You understand what the psalmist said? The psalmist said, God, I am not going to be satisfied until the day that I wake up and I look exactly like Jesus. What? And of course, that total and final forming will take place when we leave this earth and we go to heaven. But the truth of the matter is, you and I, every day of our life, ought to be living our life saying, God, form me. Use today and form me. I want to be like you. I want to be like you. I want to be like you. Say, but Brother Owens, what's God like? God said, I'm going to solve that problem. I don't want you to wonder what I'm like. He said, I am going to create my son in my likeness. And he said, I'll send him down there to you, not so you can look and see what my face looked like, but you can look and see what I am and what he, and that's what God said. God said, I am. That's what I am. Hey, you say, well, how do I know what Jesus was like? This book right here. That is a picture of Jesus Christ, which is a picture of God. That book is Emmanuel, God with us. So what am I supposed to be like? That book. That's what I'm supposed to be like. Because Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus was the walking Word of God. So, let me remind you again. We're supposed to be a cookie, like a cookie, a Christmas cookie, cut out in the likeness of our God. It is God that is the great former. He created us for Himself. He formed us, and then He wants us to be formed in the likeness of His Son. Don't fight the forming. There is pressure and pain in the forming. He wants to form your attitude. And not a one of us should be satisfied until we are formed in His likeness, to where we wake up. And that'll be ultimately in heaven. But every day, our desire ought to be, I want to be more like Him. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to welcome you to the Savior. You see, for the Christian, He came that we might know what He was, so we could mimic Him, so we could be like Him. To the lost, He came to keep you from dying and going to hell. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, what a good time to do it, as we celebrate His birth, and His primary purpose of His birth was to keep you out of hell. You can't save yourself. Only He can save you. We wish that you would come to Him today.